Alrighty. Prayers, I hope that each and every one of you had a good week, prosperous week, and we just need to come and mind the Lord this morning. If something goes on, the Lord speaks to your heart this morning and wants you to pray for somebody or something, you don't have to wait to the end of the service. And I'm going to start reiterating that, because we don't need to wait. Because if sometimes, and it's happened to me before, that I've waited. But then when it comes down to the end of the service, I just still didn't move. So, got to the point of where the Lord speaks, that's the time to move, is when the Lord speaks. Not after the service, but during it. So, I sure am glad to be back today. I tell you, this has been 1 week that I've been tired all week, hadn't done nothing. But I'll tell you one thing, the Lord's been there for me. He's been there for me, and I thank him for that. If it hadn't been for the Lord, where would we be? Really, where would we be if it weren't for him? All right. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And it says, this right here is the speaking of the seventh day, speaking of the rest. The Father is doing after all the creation that he has performed. And after everything, he come to the point that he could sit down and just think about everything that he's done. And this took place around 6,000 years ago. Today is just as up to date as it was back then. It's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It's just as up to date as it was back then. Because the Bible is the, if they want to, you know, in Washington or the newspaper or anybody, if they want news and up to date news, go to the Bible. It's up to date. Every bit of it is. But here in verse 1 it says, thus the heaven and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God hath not caused it to rain upon the earth. There was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I want to iterate this morning on the thought of God breathed. God breathed. You know, God done so much there in the first part of the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1. And not only that, God created everything that man had put his eyes upon. And he'd got down to this point in his life that he wanted to rest for a little while. And the reason he rested, and the reason he said the seventh day is a day of rest, is because he wants us to do the same thing. He does not want us to go out here and do this and that every day during the week. He wants us to rest these bodies to where we can be re-energized and we can be refreshed for the next week that we're about to see and we're about to come upon. God has now completed his creation. All the animal life, the fish, the insects, and all the plant life. Everything he has completed. But one thing he had not completed until verse 7. And that was the mankind. And it says, speaking of the mankind, flowers, and now he crowned his creation with the making and the creation of man. That's where he placed his crown at, was upon man. Now, we know also that it took 6,000 years for us to come this far. You say 6,000 years? Yes. 6,000 plus years it took for us to come thus far. But in the life that we are living, God has always been a part of it. Because God breathed in the man's nostril the breath of life. And he took us up from the dust of the earth. And when he took that dust from the earth, he had it right there in his hands. And he created something that he knew that he could one day have fellowship with. And when he had fellowship with them, that they had to have something within them that nothing else had. That they needed a spirit. They needed a soul. The dogs, they don't have souls. The animals out here, they don't have souls. The plant life, they don't have souls. They don't have any of that. But they do have life. They do have life. So God took the dust of the earth and He looked at it. And He just happened to think, I want to create man. Now, I want you to always remember this. When the Word of God is speaking about where God creates man or where man is doing this and that, He's also speaking about the other individuals. He's not speaking just to mankind. He's speaking to each and every individual that has the breath of life in them. Where did the breath of life come from? It come from God. God took that dust of the earth and He created man. He created a human being. And every grain that was in the sand there represented, I believe, a portion of what's inside of this body. Because He placed it there. No doctor has ever placed it there. A doctor would not know where to go and place an organ that's within us. But God did. God run the veins. God done all of that. He done all of that. Why? So He could have fellowship. So He could have communion with them. But then God, after He created man, man was there. Just like these statues you go out here. Just like the golden calf that Nebuchadnezzar speaks of. That's all it was. It was a statue there of what God wanted a human being, a man, to look like. But then God, He took His own breath from His own body and He breathed in to that statue there the breath of life. He breathed it within that man's nostril, that statue's nostrils, to where he would have the breath of life. Then that's when he became a living soul. Now, we need to realize some things that we as individuals, we as Christians today, that we need to reiterate on and we need to be focused on. And that is the, when we lose our vision, see, God give us a vision, right? Even the individual that is totally cannot see anything in front of them, just sees darkness. God has also allowed them to be able to see a vision spiritually. We need to have the same kind of vision as they do. We need to have the spiritual vision today. And if we don't, we're going to lose out. The people that don't know the Lord, that don't know anything about how they was even established. They don't know anything about it. So they can't lose the vision because they don't have the vision They don't have the vision of and knowing from where they came from. But we do. And when we lose our vision, and we can lose it as Christians, spiritually, we can lose our vision. And what that is when we lose the vision of what hell is all about. Because when we lose that vision, we don't know how to explain to people. And we don't want to talk about hell. The word hell is preached on more, less today than it ever has before. But yet, in God's word, it's mentioned more about hell than it is heaven. Why? Because God wants us to be able to vision it and what that awful place is going to be. Hell is a forgotten subject that's in the pulpit. Preachers, pastors, evangelists, they don't want to preach on it anymore. They want to preach about how good God is, how nice God is, how God, He wants to bless you. Well, He does. God wants to bless me. God loves me. God wants me to have this and that and everything. But He also allows me to have the vision of what hell is all about. Do you have the vision of what hell is? Do you? We need to have that kind of vision. And when we have that kind of vision of what hell is all about, we'll start getting busy for the Lord. We'll start telling people. We'll start inviting people to the house of the Lord. And we'll start telling them, we love you. But I'm going to tell you somebody about somebody that loves you more than I could ever love you. And that's the Son of God. We need to really think about hell more than what we do. But we don't want to. Why? The reason that we don't want to think about hell is because we think about we have a family member that's lost. Unless they get saved, unless they come to the Lord, they're going to end up dying, going to hell. That's a simple fact. Only what the only escape that anybody has ever got to escape hell, they have the Lord Jesus Christ that they can go to. That's the only way anybody can ever escape hell. They must trust and believe in Him. And if they reject Him, and if they keep on rejecting Him, and keep on rejecting Him, and keep on rejecting Him, then one day they're going to be sitting in church, or they're going to be sitting around, and they say, something's wrong. Something's wrong with me. I just don't feel that no more. I don't feel that tug anymore. What is it? That is when the Holy Spirit leaves you. And you ask me, will the Holy Spirit leave us? To the point that we don't have no way out. Yes, He will. He's not going to always strive with man. He's not going to always bring conviction to man. He's going to bring conviction as long as he can. But if we continue to reject him, if people continue rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to come a time and place he's going to say no more. We've seen that in the Bible. Different places in the Bible we have seen that. We've also seen it within the churches. We've seen it time and time again. And I got a feeling that's a whole lot of the reason a whole lot of people just don't want to come to church. Is that God has spoke to them time and time again. He's given them all the chances. And yes, God, He's a God of second chances. He's a God of first chances. He's a God of all chances.
Last time.
Last time. Hallelujah.
Last time to work on Sunday for a while.
Amen. I just don't understand why people just want to forget about the Lord. I really don't. I raise it because I know him. They don't know him. I do. I know him in that personal way. He's been there for me. He's been there with me. He didn't say that he was going to answer all my prayers. He didn't say he was going to do this and do that. But he did promise me one thing. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He will not fail me. I'm a winner. Either way, it don't make no difference what route I go. I'm a winner. I know that. And I wish people could understand that. I wish people could understand why we are so compassionate about getting them in church and getting them to come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that we care for them. We were trying to look after them. See, that's one of the jobs that the Lord Jesus has granted the pastors that are true pastors, is that we're supposed to look after the flock. And we're not supposed to just look after the flock that's here, but we also need to look after the flock family. We're supposed to look after people in general right here. See, they don't have no vision. We need to have the vision of hell. Where the worm dies not, where it's going to be the lake of fire. Snug in any lake. And the lake of fire is just not going to be a fire that's on top of the lake. It's not going to be, he's not speaking of that kind of lake. The kind of lake that he's speaking about is a lake that wears nothing there but fire from the top to the bottom. And you cannot die. You cannot even take your own life. He says, over in the book of Revelation, they'll even try to hang themselves. They'll try to commit this and commit that, but they can't do it. They can't get away from it. They had all the opportunities in the world while the church was still here. They had all the opportunity in the world to come and ask the Lord Jesus to save them. But they thought they was having so good of a time. And they'd say, well, I can wait till next Sunday. I can wait tomorrow. Next Sunday never gets here. Tomorrow never gets here. It's today. Today is the day of salvation to everyone. All the people that come here, even the what visitors has come has just come one time. And even the ones as I hear that hasn't been, I love them just as much as I do you. Why? Because God loves them also. I do. I love each and every one of you. And I want the best for you. But the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Oh, me. In hell is going to be population of sinners there. And I know y'all have heard this saying, say, well, that's all right. I'm going to hell anyhow. I'm going to be down there with my friends and everything. They're not going to even know their friends are there. They're not going to even know who is there. Why? Because they're going to be in so much agony. So much agony. They're going to be doing things that they was not conscious of. Now, one thing about it, that the things that we take for granted down here, look at the things that they are taking for granted. We should not take anything lightly. We should not take anything for granted. Because I'll tell you, for that sinner right here that's going to die and go to hell, that could be me today. But I'm so thankful that the Lord sent someone my way and told me the truth. It did not sugarcoat it or anything. Didn't say, well, if you come to, you just need to come on, come to church, and you need to come on and just join the church and just go and be baptized and everything. And everything be all right. No, it won't either. I can be baptized in every baptistry. I can be baptized in every creek I hear, every pond I hear. I can be baptized in all of them. Had one preacher say, he says, I can be baptized so many times I hear. In all the water that there is, that even the tadpole knows my name. That's not going to get me to heaven. Being baptized is not going to get me to heaven. Being a member of a local church that preaches the gospel, I'm not going to heaven on that. I'm not going to heaven because of my goodness either. The only way I'm going to heaven is promised me in the book that I must come to Jesus. I must come to Jesus. And I'll tell you one thing. It was the best thing I've ever done in my life. Amen. The best thing. Hey, I don't have no wealth. I don't have hardly any money at all. What money I got in my back pocket? Hey, if you need it, you can have it. But you know, it's all what Jesus has done. All what he has done. Why? Because I had a vision one time of dying and going to hell. I had that vision. And I did not see any of the individuals that I knew. And I knew that this is there today. I didn't see them. I thought I was all alone and all by myself. You know, that's a scary thought. When you get alone and when you're alone by yourself in a house or wherever and you have no verbal communication with somebody to where you can talk to them and they can hear you. And they can speak back to you. It's all because of the breath of God. Is that I can sense His presence this morning. I don't know about y'all, but I felt a little something this morning. I felt that little breeze. We ain't got no air conditioner on and we ain't got no fans on. The breeze that I felt was the Holy Ghost. The breath of God. We need the breath of God when we lose our vision of hope. Vision of hope. You know, I don't have the vision of hope, hoping that I'm going to heaven. The vision of hope, I believe, that he's speaking about right here is speaking about the victory that we have received through Him. And the vision of hope is our valley. In the low plains where the soil is rich, where we can be strengthened, where we can be nourished by. What are we being nourished by? We're being nourished by the lowland. We're being nourished by the lowland. Why? Because that's where we can get along with God. Because that's where all the rich soil is at. That's where we get the richest soil for our life. I can remember my granddaddy, and he's been dead since 1961. But I can remember him going out and planting a garden every year. But he had where he planted his cantaloupes and watermelons. He had one place that he planted them. And that was in the lowland. That was in the bottom. Where all the richest, all the soil had come down the mountain and was right there, laying there. And you talking about watermelons. I mean, he had a screened in back, he had a screened in porch, side porch. It was about 8 foot wide and looked like it's about 20 feet deep or 20 feet long or something. But when that watermelon come in, we had to get to the point we had to go to the front door to go into the house. We couldn't even go in the side door anymore. Why? Because that's where his prized possessions was at. The watermelons that was growed on the lowland in that rich soil. If you want to grow, you can grow in the Lord in the lowland. You can grow with the Lord in the lowland where the richness and His power comes from. That is the house of God. That's where our hope is in. Is in that where we can stay faithful to God. Our hope is not in salvation. We can have the no soul salvation. In James, I think it is James 5 something. But it's talking about, speaking about the no soul salvation. We can know for a fact where we're going to spend eternity at. You can know it. People can know for a fact if they're going to spend eternity in hell or they're going to spend eternity with God. That is the vision of hope. That's the reason I stress it all the time about these individuals. That yes, that I've been visited and I've called and everything, but yet they don't want to come to church. But yet they just turn around and say, well, preacher says, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. They says, I don't think you need to go to church to go to heaven. I don't think you need to go to church to be saved. Maybe not. But if you're saved, you want to be in church. You want to be where God is at and where God's people is at. Why? Because they are talking about and they're speaking about things that you love hearing. The gospel is meant to change the sinner. Not for the sinner to change the gospel to suit their sin. That is so true today. Everything that I've just read, the latter part of it, so true today. People wants to come in and they want to come into this church right here. They want to come and visit here and they want me to change. They want me to change my ideas. They want me to change my preaching style. They want me to change what I'm doing. See, that's the reason they want that. So it can soothe them. So it can nourish their own sin. Because when an individual gets up here And if he just preaches about, you know, if he just talks about the goodness of God and how much God loves you and everything, and don't never mention anything about the wrath of God, how are they going to get saved? The love of God's not going to draw people. What's going to draw people is people hearing about what hell is all about. Our victory. Our voice. Has been silver lined. Our voice has got to the point that we don't want to hurt no one's feelings. I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. I'm just trying to get them to realize that they can go to heaven with us. You know, the Holy Spirit, the reason that we're not going to be here, and the reason that the individuals there that's going to be in hell, they're not going to have no hope. They don't have no hope. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's going to be gone. When the rapture takes place, me, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, that where lives within my soul, they going where I'm going. Why? That's the reason they came. To where I can go where they're going. And I can follow them. Thank God for that. The breath of God. We need the breath of God today. So when we do lose our vision, and we can lose our vision of what heaven is going to really be like. Oh, in Titus, it speaks about heaven, that we don't have to sit back and wonder what heaven is going to be like. We can go to the book of Isaiah, and the book of Isaiah tells us the same thing. We don't need to lose our vision on what heaven is going to look like as far as each one of us envisions and what we read from the Word of God. Because you cannot say that I'm wrong if I say, well, you know, that in heaven it's going to be, I'm going to have the mansion, but my mansion is going to be 6 foot by 12 foot. I don't know. We don't know what heaven is going to be like until we get there. But we can read all about it right in this book. We can read all about it right here in this book. And if we don't know anything about what heaven looks like, we're not reading the book. We can see where God has seen His holiness through His Son. we can see where he saw himself through his son. And he also saw the helpless through others. Before we can ever help anybody, the breath of God must make heaven real to us. Just think about it. Just think about that for a minute. And I'm going to close. If it wasn't for the breath of God, if it wasn't for the breath of God, we would have never got to see each other. If you're here and you've got family members here, they're the only one you've ever seen. But me, myself, I'd have never seen you. Why? Because I got a vision of my home. I got a vision of what my mansions are going to look like. It doesn't make no difference how big, how small, how luxurious it is or nothing. What's going to make heaven for me was when I can put these eyes upon my Savior's life. And I can thank him for going to Calvary for me and shedding his blood. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for today. And God, we thank you, Lord, for what you have done, what you're continue going to do here at Faith Baptist Church. Now, Lord, we just ask, Father, now that you will speak to the people's hearts. Father, if it's anybody that needs to come to the altar, I pray, Father God, that they will come. They will come to the front of the church. If they cannot kneel, that they can just sit on the front pew. But Father, we all need to get in touch with you. We all need to pray for the people that is not coming. We need to pray, Father, Lord Jesus, for the lost that will not hear, and they do not know you as their personal Savior. So, Father, we ask, Lord, today that you may help us through the remainder of this day and through next week, Father, that you'll help us that we may be able to share something with someone else. That we can be able to just say, hey, Lord, I want to call somebody. I want to go and visit somebody. And I want to be able to invite them to the house of the Lord. But Lord, it cannot be done without you. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll prepare the hearts until we get there. Or until we get to the point to where we can talk to them. Father, we just want to thank you and want to love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.